trees still wore ermine stoles on every bough. Cora had shoveled a clearing in the backyard so that Dixie wouldn't have to plow through deep powder. Dachshunds had keen noses. Ignoring her mistress's plea not to dawdle, Dixie Belle wandered back and forth in the clearing, nose to the ground, curious about what animals had visited in the night. Wednesday. A school day. Although Cora had been off work for 2 weeks, she still felt as if she should hurry to prepare for school. 2 years earlier, she had been named Minnesota's Teacher of the Year. She dearly loved and missed the children in her sixth grade class. Sudden onset migraines, 5 and 6 hours long, sometimes accompanied by foul odors that only she could detect, had disabled her. The headaches seemed to be slowly responding to medications, zolmitriptan and a muscle relaxant called Soma. Cora had never been a sickly person, and staying home bored her. Dixie Belle finally peed and left 2 small logs, which Cora would pick up with a plastic bag later, after they froze solid. When she followed the dachshund into the house, a strange man was sitting at the kitchen table, drinking coffee that he had boldly poured for himself. He wore a knitted cap. He had unzipped his fleece-lined jacket. His face was long, his features sharp, his cold blue stare direct. Before Cora could cry out or turn to flee, the intruder said,
"Play Manchurian with me."
"Yes." "All right," she said, because he no longer seemed to be a threat. She knew him, after all. He was a nice man. He had visited her at least 2 times in the past week. He was a very nice man.
"Take off your coat and hang it up."
She did as he asked.
"Come here, Cora. Sit down."
She pulled out a chair and sat at the table. Although a friend of everyone, Dixie retreated to a corner and settled there to watch warily with 1 light blue eye and 1 brown.
"Did you dream last night?" the nice man asked.
"Yes."
"Was it the dream of fire?"
"Yes."
"Was it a good dream, Cora?"
She smiled and nodded.
"It was lovely. A lovely walk through soothing fire. No fear at all."
"You'll have the same dream again tonight," he said.
She smiled and clapped her hands 2 times.
"Oh, good. It's such a delightful dream. Sort of like one I sometimes had as a girl. That dream of flying like a bird, flying with no fear of falling."
"Tomorrow is the big day, Cora."
"Is it? What's happening?"
"You'll know when you get up in the morning. I won't be back again. Even as important as this is, you need no hands-on guidance."
He finished his coffee and slid the mug in front of her and got to his feet and pushed his chair under the table.
"Auf Wiedersehen, you stupid skinny bitch."
"Goodbye," she said.
A twinkling, zigzagging chain of tiny lights floated into sight, an aura preceding a migraine. She closed her eyes, dreading the pain to come. But the aura passed. The headache did not occur. When she opened her eyes, her empty mug stood on the table before her, a residue of coffee in the bottom. She got up to pour another serving for herself. Chapter 2. On a Sunday afternoon in March, in self-defense and with great anguish, Jane Hawk had killed a dear friend and mentor. 3 days later, on a Wednesday, when the evening was diamonded with stars that even the great upwash of lights in the San Gabriel Valley, northeast of Los Angeles, could not entirely rinse from the sky, she came on foot to a house that she had scouted earlier by car. She carried a large tote bag with incriminating contents. In a shoulder rig under her sport coat hung a stolen Colt 45 ACP pistol, rebuilt by one of the country's finest custom handgun shops. The residential neighborhood was calm in this age of chaos, quiet in a time characterized by clamor.